Morning. Hi, Richard. Thanks for the joke, but I'm from Dublin. I don't get it. We're slow learners over Dublin. But anyways, it's good to be here this morning. And I just can't tell you how thankful I am to come have the opportunity to share with you. I don't guess there's ever a time that I've ever got up and spoken or shared that it just that queasiness, that nervousness comes and feels in you, and it just, I pray to God it never stops, because it's like before, you know, I have to go in the athletic realm here, before the game, you just, man, you're ready to play. You just want to get out there. I just, you know, can't get through this other stuff fast enough that I just want to share the word. And it's not about me. It's about Him. It's for His glory, for His kingdom. It's His word. I just want to share and let God work in me and through me and pass it on. But as I share that, like I said, I'll get it through this part of it, and we're going to get into the scripture in a minute. And I know some little guys were here last time when I spoke on the Gideons, and with the Gideons presentation, I got certain guidelines I kind of have to go through, material that I got to present to you. And I know some of the little kids, they're probably leaning over going, "Daddy, is he going to show as many videos he did last time?" You know, and I promise you won't. This time they're going to say, "Daddy, I think this guy's a little bit crazy," because I get pretty passionate about some things. And as I share into this, I want to just story real quick. Shannon Bear on the way over here, and she's always going to be like, "I can't believe you said that." But she's like, "Now, when you're going to have to behave a little bit, okay? So you can't just go like you normally do." And you know, so I've never been real good by sticking by the rules. And like I said, I'll try to behave, but I do get very passionate sometimes. And so don't want you to think I'm a little bit crazy, but I am in love with the Lord. And so kind of getting into this, I just want to start off with a word of prayer, if you will. Pray with me. Father God, we want to thank you for this day. We want to thank you for every opportunity just to come to your house, to worship you, to hear your word, to just be in fellowship, be in the presence of others, Lord, and most of all, be in your presence, to feel your love, your mercy, your grace. That is so powerful, God, and it's so good, and it's so life-giving, and it's just the most awesome thing in the world. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you that you love us no matter what, God. And Father, I just pray that this time that we gather here, that you just let the Holy Spirit just move, Lord. Let others see Jesus. Hide me behind the cross, Father. Let it be for your kingdom and for your glory only. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As I kind of get in this morning here, I want to talk about in the book of Samuel. 1 Samuel is where we're going to be looking at. And you're going to be familiar with some of this, but I'm going to share some things with you that the Lord kind of showed me and some other things. And it's in 1 Samuel 17. We're going to be talking about David and Goliath. And like I said, this is one of my favorite passages to share. This is a favorite sermon of mine. And like I said, I do get a little excited in all this. But guys, I'm going to tell you, this I love the Word of God, because the Word of God just applies in so many ways. It's just, there's no limits, no barriers to it. And when you look at this passage and when you look at this scripture, this can speak to us in so many ways that you just, it's like taking something 3D and just turning it and getting to see it from all different angles. But it's the living Word of God. And that's why it's so powerful and it's so strong. And it applies in one way this time and it applies a different way this time. And like I said, it's just unbelievable. And so I'm going to share this with you. And like I said, it may be something you never heard before. But I know this. I know this without a doubt. When God kind of gave this to me and showed me some of this, it's a word for somebody here today, I promise you. It was a word for me, because I heard part of this from a lady that shared the word, and it spoke to me so strongly. And I wrote it down, because I make some notes, so if you're a note taker, put it in your Bible, highlight, whatever. But I did. I wrote these three things in there, and this is what you're going to hear. The first part of this sermon is, it's about a lady named Charlotte Gamble. She shared this word, and man, I struggled with some things in my life, my whole life. And unworthiness, not being capable, not being worthy. Some of these things have just, man, just, it got instilled in me when I was little, and I just carried it with me, and it just beat me up. It's Satan's way of stealing my joy and taking things from me that wasn't supposed to be there, and just, you know, it's something we battle. So that I promise you, there's somebody here today that knows what I'm talking about. There's somebody here today that has facing their giant. Maybe you faced him a long time. Maybe you're just now facing him. But I promise you, there's victory in this. And this is what I want to share with you today. But as we look in 1 Samuel 17, David and Goliath, and I'm going to paraphrase through this, the very first part, and go into this. And I've got to read some of it so we can have the setting here. But as David and Goliath is in 1 Samuel 17, now the Philistines gathered their forces for war, and they assembled in Socah in Judah. They pitched camp at Ephes in Damon between Socah and Azekah, and Saul and the Israelites assembled in the camp of the valley of Elah, and they drew up their battle lines to meet the Philistines. And so they assemble in this valley, and it's Israelites on one side and the Philistines on the other. They're on these mountaintops, and there's this valley between. Okay? So we knew the battle line. We know what's here, what's going on. And look in verse 4. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out from the Philistine camp. And he goes into how big he was and how tall he was. And he was huge. He was a giant. And his how big his armor was, the sword that he carried. Again, you see that he was a giant. He's intimidating, everything about him. And he, every time the Goliath would come out there, he stood and he shouted. And I'm down on verse 8 now. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come up and line for battle? I am not a Philistine, and you are the servants of Saul. Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he's able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become subjects and serve us." Verse 10, then the Philistine said, this is what he said, this day, I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man. Let us fight each other. On hearing the Philistine's word, Saul and the Israelites, and I want you to do whatever you need to do with this, they were dismayed and terrified. The word dismayed and terrified. We're going to come back to that at the end of this, but I want you to remember those two words, because I'm going to speak to you about what they mean and how they played out. Now, David was the son of an Ephraite named Jesse. And I'm going to paraphrase this again. Jesse had 8 sons. Anyway, David was the youngest of them all. Okay? It goes through a little bit of order there. And it goes down to, we're on verse 16 now. For 40 days, the Philistine came forward every morning and evening, and he took his stand. For 40 days, he came out there, and he made his remarks, his shout, a battle cry against the Israelites, intimidating them, making them afraid. Again, go back to that dismayed and terrified. Now Jesse, on 17, said to his son David, "I need you to go and see about your brothers." Because his other brothers were there fighting with Saul. He said, "I need you to go take this cheese and this other stuff to your brothers. I need you to see how they're doing and come back and let me know." Now, David was the youngest, so he had been taking care of the sheep. He had been watching over everything while his brothers were gone. He was the only one there, so he was the youngest, so that was his job to take care of that. But his dad sends him up there to see about his brothers, and while he's there, guess what happens? He sees what goes on. He sees the Philistine come out. He sees the giant come out and make his remarks and intimidate everybody, and everybody back off, run for the hills. They're scared to death, dismayed and terrified. Those words again. And so David, being the warrior he is, because he's been taking care of the sheep, he's been fighting off the lions, bears, whatever it may come, and he knew, he had confidence in what he could do. He knew the Lord was with him, even though he was a young man. He knew he could face anything, no matter what. But he put his hope and his trust in the Lord. And as we get into this, we're going to go down to verse 28. This is where we're going to start. Verse 17, 28. Here we go. When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him. And he asked, he's asking this to David, "Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave with those few sheep in the wilderness? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle." Typical brother, right? Typical brother, older brother talking to the young brother. "Why are you here? Get out of here. Go back and take care of the sheep like you're supposed to." You're so arrogant. I know you're here just to watch, to get in the way. Get out of here. And you know what that is? That's the voice of limitation. And this, when I heard this lady speak on this is one of the things she spoke about, the voice of limitation. And of all things, it comes from a family member. Sometimes the voice of limitation speaks to us through people that we really love. And it comes to us and it says that. Why are you here? You shouldn't even be here. You shouldn't even be in this church today. You're not good enough. I don't know why you're here. That's the enemy speaking to you this morning. Telling you, I don't know why you're here. You need to go home. It's a voice of limitation. We need to be able to recognize the voice of the enemy and see the things that he speaks to us and know how to come back to him. And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit. We go on down in verse 29. It says, listen to what David, how he replies back to his brother that's speaking this limitation on him. He comes back and says, now what have I done? What have I done? Can I even speak? He says that to his brother. He said, and then he just turns away from him. He just ignores him. And he goes to someone else. He brought up the same matter. And the men answered him as before, because he asked them, why do not y'all face the giant? Why do you run from him? Why are you scared of him? You need to face him. You can do this. You can battle him and you can win. Why are y'all doing this? Is what David keeps saying to them. And so he's saying, I can do this. And so verse 32, David said to Saul, let no one lose heart. Because Saul sent for him and he said, who is this young kid that's running his jaw? I want to talk to him. So David said in 32, David said to Saul, let no one lose heart account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. And again, we hear this voice of limitation in 33 here. What did Saul do? What did Saul say to David? Saul replied, you are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a young man. And he is a warrior from his youth. What he's saying here, and young folks, I want you to hear me. You see this, what he's saying here. You are just young. You can't do this. This guy's been around a long time. He's a warrior. He's been trained. You're just a kid. You're going to get slaughtered. And that's the same way with us. This world will tell you, you're too young. You don't know enough. You need to just be quiet and get to the back of the line. That's not how it works, guys. That's not how it works. The Lord works in you. He's going to rise up a mighty generation. And that mighty generation is you. Don't you ever doubt that he can't work in you and through you. You have to just be able and willing to allow him to have work in you and accept him and be able to stand on that faith. And so you see this when how David took this and how he did. But not only this for the youth, but us in here today. How many times have you heard this voice of limitation that I'm talking about? You're not capable. You're not smart enough. You haven't been trained. You're not the right person to do this for the church. You shouldn't be in the ministry. You shouldn't do that. Not going to happen. You're too old. You're too young. You're not smart enough. These voices of limitations you hear, the enemy loves to use them, just as he was doing here, just as we see. And as I go back into this, David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or bear come out and carried off the sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair. I struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. 37, the Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion, the paw of the bear, will rescue me from the hand of the Philistine. He put his faith in God, church. Saul said to David, go. Go, and the Lord be with you. So we see Saul is saying, okay, let's do this. You're going to face him. You're going to go. But look what happens on the very next thing. You're going to see another voice, and this is a voice of manipulation. And this is where Saul says, if you're going to go, David, if you're going to go, this is the way you're going to do it, okay? And listen to how you see how I come up what it says. Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a comb of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic, and he tried walking around because he was not used to them. Saul, his OCD kicked in. He said, David, if you're going to do this, this is how you're going to do it. You're going to do it my way. This is how it happens. And so, you know, he dresses David. He puts on all this stuff. David's just, he can't even hardly walk around. It's so big for him. It's not him. And that again goes back to this, and I just want to encourage the young man, it's not you. God wired you a certain way. God wired me a certain way. You know, everybody in this church has been given a gift. You've got certain ways that you're wired, and it's meant to use for God and His glory. The way I do it may not be the same way that you do it. But one thing we have in common is for Him, for His glory, and for His kingdom. And so I want to encourage you this. The voice of manipulation comes, and it will try to control how you're going to do things. And so David's response in this, he wasn't angry with Saul. He wasn't hateful how he responded back. And that's something that we as adults or even youth need to know when people try to manipulate us and tell us how we're supposed to do it is, I cannot go in these, he said to Saul, because I'm not used to them. So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand. He chose 5 smooth stones from the stream. He put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag. And with his sling in his hand, he approached the Philistine. And now we go on to the next one. This is a voice of intimidation. The voice of intimidation. Meanwhile, the Philistine with his shield bare in front of him kept coming closer to David. He looked over to David and he saw that he was little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. Here it is. He said to David, I am a dog that you come at me with sticks. And this Philistine cursed David by his gods. And here's where he says, come here, he said, come here, and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals. That's a voice of intimidation. How many times have you heard that voice of intimidation, church? Go ahead, try it. Get out here and try this for the Lord. I'll make a fool out of you. Like I said, you're not smart enough. You're not good enough. And if you're going to do it, this is the way you're going to do it. There's that voice of manipulation. Then comes that intimidation. Try it. Let me see what's going to happen. I'll make a fool out of you and tear you up. And you'll never do it again. So there's that voice of intimidation that we hear. Now, this is the part I want you to see. Because after I thought about these things, the things went on in my life, and these very same things, the limitation, the manipulation, and the intimidation, they were so strong in my life that I held back from some things, mostly who God wanted me to be. But David answers back. He answers back, and we're in verse 45. And this is going to be the validation, the voice, the truth of the Word of God, the truth speaking into David, and this is how he comes back with a validation. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, and here it is, but I come against you. I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty. There it is. There's that voice validation. He knows who he is. He knows where he's going. He knows who he belongs to. And he knows who he's fighting for. And that's what I pray and hope that each one of us in this church today, especially you youth, I pray that you know who you are and where you came from and where you're going. And I know for me, like I said, if anybody wants to chuck stones at me, I know who I was, I know who I am, and I know where I'm going. And I'm not afraid to admit it because I know I'm saved by the Lord Almighty. I have victory in Jesus. It has nothing to do with me and how what I do and how I did it, but it's all about Him for His glory and for His kingdom. And so we know that, and we're willing to have this passion about us that we will answer back with a voice of validation. When things in life come and they hit us from the blind side, we've got to answer back with it. And like I said, today you may be right here, right now. You may be going through some things in your marriage. You may be going through some things that in financial-wise, you may be facing some things in your health. But we have to know that we have victory in Jesus. And we're going to answer back with that voice of validation, just as David did. As we look into this and we move on, it says in verse 46, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hands. Hear this, church. This is David. He's given a proclamation here. We went from validation to a proclamation. This day, David said, the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut your head off. This very day, I will give the carcass of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. Whew! That's the proclamation that he's making right there. Verse 47, all those that gathered here will know that it is not by the sword or the spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give all of you into your hands. Oh, man, the voice of affirmation that it's here, it's there, that he's got this. He's got this proclamation, and it moves into an affirmation because what it is, when we have this and we have a validation, we know who we are, we know that the Lord's with us, then we make this proclamation that we take, and when you make that proclamation, you move it into action, is what I say, that you're not all talk, that you can walk the walk. And that means that when you put your belief and your faith into actions, you're willing to do something for him and not be afraid of it, not let it hold you back. That's your affirmation. You're putting it into action. And so we're going to see this in verse 48. As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, look what happens. Look what David does. Does he hesitate? Does he hold back? Does he wait? Does he doubt? Is he wondering? Is he afraid? Is he terrified and dismayed? No. What does he do? David ran quickly to the battle line. He ran quickly towards the giant. He said, come on. You want to do this? Let's do this. Because I got the Lord in me. I got the Lord in my side. You know, when you know that you're facing things, again, these things that you're facing, your giant that you have right now, you know the Lord's with you. Don't be afraid of it. Run towards it. Run towards it and say, I'm going to do this in the name of the Lord. I'm going to do it for him, not for me, but for him and his glory. And I'm not afraid to do this. So we see this in this, what David does. And he puts it in affirmation. David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching to his bag, taking out the stone, he slung it, and he struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into the forehead. He fell face down on the ground. This is what happens when you do all these things I was talking about. The validation, the proclamation, the affirmation. Guess what comes last? The confirmation. The confirmation that what you believed was true. What you believed was real. What you believed was life-changing. Didn't matter what you faced with. Didn't matter how big your problems are. Didn't matter if you was on the verge of having a sickness, an illness that fixing to die. Because guess what? You're not going to live in this world no longer. You're moving on to the new world, right? You get to be in heaven. There is no death for those that are saved in Christ. That should give us a confirmation that whatever we face, whatever's in front of us, like I said, financial, marriage, just personal problems, whatever it may be, when we put our trust and faith in him, there will be a confirmation. So David, verse 50, David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and without a sword in his hands, he struck down the Philistine, and he killed him. David ran over and stood over him. He took the Philistine's sword, drew the sheath, drew it from the sheath, and after he killed him, he cut his head off with the sword. He did just exactly what he told the Philistine he was going to do. Because he knew what he believed in was the truth. It was the very truth. It was the Word of God. And that's what I want to share with you on this. Now, I'm going to tell you, I made some notes here, and I'm going to finish up with this. Dismayed and terrified. The Greek form means it means to be spiritless, disheartened. The Hebrew means be broken, dread, have fear. The Webster says, sudden loss of courage, resolution from fear. Remember at the beginning of the sermon where I said they were dismayed and terrified. Do you know that feeling? Do you know that feeling I just said here? That you've ever felt those feelings? Isaiah 41:10 says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. Joshua 1:9, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord God is with you wherever you go. Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And in the Great Commission in Matthew, it tells us, and this is, should give us courage, this should give us strength, this should give us confidence, where he says this, and surely I am with you always to the very end of age. What else do we need to hear, church? What else do we need to hear? Are we going to be like the Israelites and be terrified and dismayed, run from the hills when we're being challenged, when our giants stand in front of us? Or are we going to stand firm? It says, have courage. We're going to run towards the enemy and say, I come at you in the name of the Lord. Shannon M. sang this song a while ago, that you are worthy. You know, and I just, I don't, I didn't know exactly what all the song was, and I didn't listen to all the words a whole lot. But in my notes here, and I'll read them to you, this is what I want to end on. You and I were created for an abundant life. Your life is worth fighting for. Jesus thought so much that he thought you were worth dying for. That's pretty strong, isn't it? That you were so worthy. We sang the song, you are worthy, God. You are worthy. But he says, yes, but I thought you were so worthy that you were worth dying for, that I died on the cross. So when you face your giants, when you're faced with things in life that's overwhelming you, getting the best of you, that's making you dismayed, terrified, making you hold back from being the man or woman that God's called you to be, remember that Jesus says you are worth dying for. That's how much I love you. That's how worthy you are. So don't doubt. Don't doubt. Let's put our hope and trust in Him. Look at the cross. Look at the blood shed on the cross. Now the question is, are you willing to believe? Are you willing to believe, church? Are you willing to believe and stand forth on that word? And there's a saying that they have, and I use this saying a lot, but I love it, and I'll share it with you. It says, do you believe? Do you believe God is who He says He is? Do you believe God can do what He says He can do? Do you believe that I am who God says I am? Do you believe God's Word is alive and active in me? Do you believe that I can do all things through Christ Jesus? That's the question. Do you believe? So if you're here today, you're struggling with some things. Maybe you've never given your life to the Lord. I'm going to give you an invitation. Today's the day. Today's the day you slay that giant. Today's the day you don't let fear take you over and say, I ain't going up front. I'm scared to. I don't want to be embarrassed. Today's the day. Face that giant. If you're facing some things in your life, I'm not talking about salvation right now, but I'm talking about you're struggling with some things. You're not being the man or woman God's called you to be because things are holding you back, and it's fear and doubt. I'm calling you today to come, share, repent, pray, whatever you need to do. You can do it right there in your seat, but I'm asking you to do it today. This is your day. This is the day to slay that giant. No more. Day one starts today. I got one more thing, and I'm going to close a Chinese proverb. I'm going to share it with you right quick. I can find it here, but this is what I want to share with you on this. It says, the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is now. The second best time is now. We all look back and say, man, I should have done that 20 years ago. I wish I would have known. But it said the second best time is now, today. This is your second best time. Let's do it. If you're here today, come forward. If you got some things, you want to accept Christ today, come forward. This is it. Day one. Okay? No more. Slay that giant. I'm going to share that and stop with that. I'm going to pray with that, and then we'll have a song of invitation. Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you for this day. Thank you for all the blessings you've given us, Lord. Father, thank you for your word. It's so powerful. It's so good. Thank you for your promises. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you that we have the blood to shed on the cross, that no matter where we're at in life, no matter what we're facing, no matter what burdens we're carrying, no matter what we're afraid of, that we can come before you, Lord. We can come before you and say, Father, I give it to you. I do it in your name, Lord. Show me the way, and I'm willing. I'm willing to believe. I'm willing to step forth today. Lord, I just pray that if there's someone here today that's willing to accept you, let today be the day. Day one. No more fear. If there's somebody struggling with things in their life, today be the day they give it to you. They lay it at the altar and walk away from it. You're big enough, God. You're big enough to take care of it. You are a great and almighty God. I ask this, Father, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.